Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Discover Blind Spots podcast, where we believe what you don't see can actually hurt you. This is episode 17. Excited about that. I remember when we were at episode 1. I feel like now this is the first time that I've introduced the episode number. I feel like we're finally getting somewhere here and able to announce what episode it is. So this is episode 17. If you've been following from last week, you know we're in the middle of a series, a four-week series of podcasts on the theme of values. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week, I encourage you to do that. I'll give you just a couple of review points to make sure that we connect the dots from last week to this week. We talked about in creating values, it's so, first of all, it's significant to do that, to identify what they are in your life or in your business. It's also important to perhaps write them down so that you are, so they're front and center in how not only you're living out your life, but how your team, if you have a team, how they're living out their lives as part of the team of an organization. And we talked about when you create values, first of all, it's important to identify them. As I said, if we don't, we'll have a tendency to drift. I use the illustration of being in the middle of an ocean or a lake or whatever, and you're in a boat or a canoe or whatever you want to call it without a paddle, you're going to drift, and you might drift into a destination that you don't want to be in. And that's what happens when we don't identify our values. They will start to perhaps identify us, or they may create confusion for others, as if our actions, for example, don't line up with our words. When you're creating values, there were three points that I made. I'll remind you of those. Always write them down with short sentences. Always use simple words. And always try to create three or less values. In other words, you don't need 20 or 30. You don't need words that sound like you're important. You're doing all of this, short sentences, simple words, three or less values, so that you can remember the values. You can commit it to memory so that you don't have to think about it. You can recite it. You can, you know, just live it and talk about it freely without having to look at some cheat notes, pull it out of your desk and read through a paragraph. And so, this week, I want to talk to you about my first value of my business, and it's a value that I identified early on. I launched Discover Blind Spots over a year ago, about a year and a half ago, and at the very beginning, I don't know that I had this these words, but this is one thing that I tried to live out every single day, and still do. It's very, very important to me. And the value is, remember, short sentences, simple words. My three values all are comprised of two word sentences. So the first value I want to talk about this week is called highly responsive. Highly responsive. When I say those words, being highly responsive, what does that make you think? What comes to mind? I mean, do you think things like, you got to be kidding me? I mean, today, have you looked at my schedule? Today's crazy world. I mean, I'm 20 responses behind. I was supposed to make 10 phone calls yesterday. I only got to two or three. I have 100 emails that hit my inbox every day. My phone's blowing up with text messages. How in the world can I be highly responsive? I literally would just have to sit and respond to people all day long. Do you think things like, you know, I've tried this and I go into seasons where I'm really good, but overall it's just not sustainable, and it seems to be impossible. Or maybe you've thought, hey, I've been on the receiving end of this, right? In other words, you've had somebody that you were expecting a response, you never got anything, you wondered what happened. Did you say something to make them mad? Did they just, you know, sort of blow you off? Did today's world, did they, you know, are they ghosting you? And you're like, what in the world is going on? I have someone that had a lot of conversations with several months ago. We were supposed to get back together, And it's been several months. I haven't heard a word. And I've reached out. I don't really know why, but just, you know, I haven't heard anything. When you've been on the receiving end of the non-responsiveness, did it create tension? Did you feel tension? If you were the one who created the non-responsive, you didn't get back to somebody, did that create tension? You know, did they send you a nasty email and say, hey, what's going on? I mean, why haven't you responded to me? So, there are all kind of reasons that we can't do this. I get that. I mean, 20, 30, 40 years ago, 10 years ago, life was probably a little simpler. We didn't have all the inputs that we have today. So there are lots of challenges. But here's the problem. You may say, so is this really a big deal? I mean, do I really need to worry about this? I mean, people know I'll get back to them at some point. But let me just kind of humor me and let me talk about the problem with not being highly responsive. First of all, people, you give the opportunity that people will connect dots without your control. In other words, people might assume things about you and your character that is not your intention. In other words, they don't know the whole story, but with no communication, they start to connect and fill in the plot line, you know? That just happens. And ultimately, this is what you hope doesn't happen, is if someone connects dots that aren't there and begin to think, well, I wonder if it's because of this, or I wonder if their character is this. If they get to the end of all of those wonderings, then there's a chance that people might just assume you don't care. And in essence, I mean, if you carve away the layers, talked a little bit about that last week, if you carve away the layers, that's probably true. Here's an example. I used to work with a leader, and they loved getting email, but they were terrible at responding to email. In other words, they loved getting email from people, but they many times they would not even acknowledge the email. They would just read it and not respond. Or if their day was busy and they got a bunch of emails in about a particular topic, or if the team was talking about stuff and need to make a decision and it just didn't fit into the schedule, sometimes later I would say, hey, did you get those emails? And the response would be, yeah, I got them, but I don't have time to mess with them, so I just deleted them. And it just used to blow my mind. And many times for that particular leader, I had to cover. I had to, you know, people would contact me and say, what the heck is going on? I mean, why didn't I hear back? I mean, this is, you know, and they would start to connect those dots. And I would have to say, no, that's not it. That's not the intention. That's not. And so I wonder for those that reached out, how many didn't reach out and just, you know, just sort of wrote it off. That's the danger that you have when you choose to not address being highly responsive, or you choose to, whether you mean to or not, just your actions show that you're not very responsive. Think about it this way. You know, some people will say, I mean, you just can't respond to everything. But think about it this way. If somebody sends you an email or a text or leaves a voicemail, they have, unless they're responding to you, if they've initiated it, they have, they've started a conversation with you. So how many times would you, you know, go out to a restaurant or go to a party or be at a business meeting or a gathering, social gathering, and somebody walked up and said, hey, I want to talk to you about so-and-so. And instead of responding, you literally just turned your back and you walked away and didn't say a word. How many times would you do that? I would hope zero. Very few, at least, unless you have a history of that person and you're not talking to them. That's another story. But you just wouldn't do that in today's world, right? I hope you wouldn't do that in any world, but we just, as busy as we are, we still would not usually be that rude to someone, when we're not being responsive to someone in regards to input that we receive, questions we receive, communication we receive electronically, we're in essence doing that very thing. Now, you may say, so what's the solution? You know, how do I deal with this? And one of the things might be, well, I just work 24/7, I guess. I guess that's what I have to do. I mean, I can't get it done. So work all day, come home, spend 3 or 4 hours at night just sort of responding to people, get up at 3 in the morning, respond to people, work all Saturday and Sunday just to catch up and respond to people. No, that I don't think that's the answer. You might say, well, yeah, I just watch my email and text constantly. Just, you know, if I'm in a meeting, I just got my phone out and I'm constantly watching and texting and not paying attention, being present with the person that I'm in the room with because I want to make sure that I'm being responsive. Well, that's not the answer. You might say then, you know, I'll just always, you know, carry my phone around. If I'm out to dinner with my family, I'll just make sure I check it every, you know, 2 or 3 minutes to see if something's coming in. I need to be responsive. Again, of course not. Those are not great solutions. They're probably not sustainable solutions, and it might be solving one problem, but obviously creating another. So here's the big picture answer, and then we'll unpack that. What's the answer to being highly responsive? Manage expectations. Just simply manage expectations. In other words, there's nothing. I mean, I'm not, you know, supposed to be the one to tell you, hey, you got to get back to somebody within 2 hours, or you got to get back to somebody within 24 hours, or, you know, this is how many minutes it should be before you respond to text. That's up to you. It's just manage the expectations and communicate them clearly. Now, how do you do that? I'll give you a couple examples. You know, if you use email today, which almost everybody does, there's this thing that we use. It's called email automation, and we use this thing called an autoresponder. In fact, I noticed on my iPhone update that just recently came out, there's a whole section now, a little app about automations that you can do to try to help us manage things, and things happen automatically where we don't have to manually do that. So we use these autoresponders, you know, for email. Hey, you know, you get an email, hey, I'm not, you know, I'm out of town, I won't be back until X number of days and stuff like that. But we do that for those type things. You know, we're out of town, I'm going to be on vacation, big, you know, events where you perhaps are not going to respond to email. But what about using an autoresponder all the time? If you know that it's going to take you 2 or 3 days, your rhythm, it takes you 2 or 3 days to get back to somebody on email, why not just send an autoresponder all the time, set it up. It says, I love hearing from you. Unfortunately, my schedule doesn't allow me to respond as quickly as I would like to, but please know that I welcome your email, I care about your email, whatever your language wants to be, and I will be back in touch with you. That manages the expectation. It doesn't say, yeah, I'll get back to you in 10 minutes or an hour. It just says, I'm going to get back to you, and here's why there might be a delay. My rhythm doesn't allow me to do this. Here's an example of an autoresponder that I love. There's a gentleman I follow, a guy named Ray Edwards, part of the copywriting, you know, actually writing world. And I love listening to his podcast. I encourage you to do that. But if you send something to Ray, I'm part of his Copyright Academy group. And when you send something to Ray, here's what I get. Here's the very first time. Here's the response. Hi, Tim. That's kind of good. You know, hi, Tim comes back to me. Thank you so much for emailing us. Yes, this is just an autoresponder, but a real life human from Ray's team will be responding to you soon. You are important to us, and we wanted to make sure you knew we did get your email. Thank you again for your email. Have a wonderful day. You know what that did for me when I got that? I didn't watch my computer and think, well, wonder when the heck they're going to respond. I knew they got it, and I knew at some point in the near future I would hear back from his assistant, Jenny, which I did very shortly, probably within the same day. But it just didn't leave just a big hole that it felt like my email went into and nobody listened. Here's another one. This one's hard, but I admire my good friend, college classmate, Bill Higgins. He's an attorney, and his voicemail, if you call him, his voicemail says always, today is, and he has the day, and he says, today I'll be in the office today, be getting back to people as quick as I can, or today I'll be in court today, be tied up most of the day. But he sets the expectation every single day. Now, I've seen people who try to do that, and you call their voicemail, and it says, hi, today is Monday, January 4th, and it's really June. You know, they forgot to change it. That's not good. So if you can't maintain this, don't do it. But I love that. If I call Bill, I know I already have an expectation. When I call him, he gives me an expectation about when I might hear back from him. So here's the deal. Put a strategy in place that is consistent, sustainable, and communicates the expectations of when you'll respond, right? Just communicates that expectation. Give a client, a customer, if you're in that role, give them a timeline. In other words, if you're working on something for them, when I get something from a client and it's in my court now and I need to handle it, I usually try to say, I will have something back to you by the end of the day, or I'll have something back to you by Monday, or whatever that is. And yes, sometimes I always communicate longer than I know that it's going to take me, because I want to, under-promise and over-deliver, right? Under-promise, over-deliver. I don't fudge it. You know, I don't say, oh, it's going to take 3 weeks, and then I get it done the next day. But if I think I can do it today, I might say, hey, I'll have something to you no later than the end of the day tomorrow. You know, to just give me a little bit of time in case I get a phone call and I need to address something that wasn't on my calendar right then and there. Those touch points with your clients are critical. If you're a company, use something like an email campaign that you schedule once every few weeks to communicate information, a personal message from you about your company. Now, I'm not talking about a newsletter, because in today's world, nobody wants to read newsletters. So if you're wondering, you know, you spend all this time writing a newsletter and you know, laying it out graphically and making sure it looks pretty and all that sort of stuff, I just want you to know nobody's really looking at that. Nobody cares about that. Unless you sell something and you put a bunch of coupons in there, maybe somebody will, you know, print that out and use it that way. But nobody wants to read information in a newsletter. Write some personal messages. I mean, it can be to a group. It doesn't have to be a personal message to each person. But do that. Schedule them out. You know, do it through the strategy called email campaigns. You schedule them out every few weeks and you communicate, information. A message, a personal message, whatever it is, and do that in a way that it's set to be delivered, you know, every 2-3 weeks. That way it guarantees that your customers, your clients, will at least hear from you on a consistent basis. I work with clients specifically on this strategy, to implement this strategy, to be able to stay in touch with their clients on a regular basis, because it's impossible to do that face to face. I mean, it really is. If you get over, you know, 25, 30, 40 customers, it's impossible to have FaceTime or even to have phone time with all of those clients on a regular basis. This is a way to use technology to leverage it to be able to do that effectively. Here's a little statistic for you. 65% of customers leave your business, not because there's a problem, not because you've messed something up, but they leave because of indifference. They simply don't feel that you're paying them enough attention. And as I said, I mean, how can you? I mean, you just can't spend all that one-on-one time. Use technology to fill in the gaps as needed. Again, I'll be glad to help you with that if you need help. So now let's talk about transformation. Let's talk about what happens when you're highly responsive. Let's talk about what that does to relationships. Well, first of all, it enhances them. I've never known a relationship that struggled when communication was good. It just doesn't happen. I guess you could over-communicate, sure. I guess you could send 4 emails a day and, you know, eventually they're going to unsubscribe and they're going to say, this is crazy. I get that, you know. Most of the time, though, people unsubscribe because they get information from you and it's all, and the information you're sending is you're wanting something. You're wanting to sell something. You're wanting to, but most of the time, if you're just communicating value, you know, which we like to say 80% of the time, for example, on social media and your emails, you know, communicate value. 20% of the time you can ask for something, you know, that's a way of making sure that you keep the lines of communication open. For example, if you have a relationship with someone and every time you talk to them, 90% of the time they're asking you for something, what are you going to do? Eventually you're going to avoid them. 80% of the time, if they're just providing value, they're listening, they're caring about you, it's a great relationship. And then 10 or 20% of the time they say, hey, could you help me with so-and-so? Of course you would. That's the way we need to communicate with our clients and the way we need to use things like email and social media as well. Here's the good news. You are in control of this issue. In other words, don't let others connect the dots that don't exist. Don't let someone create a narrative about your character that is not true. And you have full control over that narrative if you communicate in a responsive way. Now, let me end with this. Just thought of this. Let me end with this. How can you help somebody be responsive? In other words, how can you be a solution for somebody else as opposed to being a problem that just piles on? Let me give you an example for that. When I talk to clients, one of the things I like to do is say, how would be the best way, how would you like for me to communicate with you? Would you like for me to communicate with you by email? Would you like for me to communicate with you by text? Would you like for me to communicate with you by placing a phone call? What's the best way to do that? And you know what? Usually someone, almost everyone, has a preference. So, for example, I have a client started working with earlier this year, and I noticed when I sent him an email, I, you know, rarely would get a response, or if I did, you know, it was very sporadic. And so I was talking to him one day and I said, hey, I do have your cell phone number. Is it okay if I text you? Would that be a good way to communicate with you? And he said, oh, please. He said, don't send me an email. He said, I get hundreds and hundreds of emails every single day and I have to weed through them and I can't get back to everybody. He said, just text me. And that was great. So I knew going forward, just make sure that I send a text. So that's how you can be part of the solution. There's no need, if somebody, you know, just gets buried in email, there's no need to just keep sending them an email and getting frustrated because they're not responding. Just ask, what's the best way to communicate? All right, so let's wrap this up. Next week, we're going to talk about value number 2. And in value number 2, it's a value that is also in your control, but there seems to be a lot less and less of this value these days. All right? Wonder what that could be. Hopefully you'll tune in to find out. And then let me just sort of wrap with this. I'm trying a kind of a new rhythm with the podcast, talking about a series of things, but also with my social media and how I communicate. Because I admit I've been guilty of not communicating in a consistent with a consistent rhythm on social media at times and so forth, and even with the podcast. It's been a little bit over a year and a half, and you know, we're only in the, you know, a little over the mid-teens in episodes. So haven't done that on a regular basis. So here's what I'm trying to do. Each week on Sunday, I'm going to introduce the theme of the week that we're going to be talking about. And I'll do that either by a social media post, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever. You can find all those on my website, discoverblindspots.com. And if you want to follow me, you can get that. So on Sunday evenings, I'll try to send something out and say, hey, this week's theme is this. Then on Monday, there'll be a video that goes out that is kind of a big picture talking about that particular week's theme that we're going to talk about. So today, a video went out about this value of being highly responsive. On Tuesdays, actually, it was yesterday, I guess this video went out. On Tuesdays, the podcast goes, which you're, you know, if you're listening to this today that it released, this is on a Tuesday. And then the remaining posts for the rest of the week will support that particular theme. So there'll be a theme for each week. And every now and then, you have to forgive me, I'll obviously put a picture up of Adelaida May, the new grandbaby, which I know I get more likes on that than anything. But she's so cute and precious, and our miracle baby that we are just having a lot of fun with. So every now and then, we'll throw some fun stuff in there as well. But if you would like, you know, if you're not on social media that much and you would like a short reminder, email reminder, not going to spam you, not going to send you 1,000 things, not going to over-communicate. But if you want a quick email that just says, hey, here's a link to the video. Hey, here's a link to the podcast. Just a reminder that you don't have to think, oh, yeah, let me go back, find Tim's feed, find where the link is and all that. You can subscribe. Go to my website, discoverblindspots.com, discoverblindspots.com. And on the top, there's a resources tab. If you click on the name, click on the word resources, then right there in red, there's a little subscribe button. If you click on that, then you'll get an email every time that I post something new, not on social media, but when I post a new video or a new podcast or a new blog post, you'll get a link to be able to get that front and center and not have to go searching for it. So I hope that helps. Thanks for listening. Looking forward to next week. I hope you are too. So we'll see you next week when I unpack value number 2. Have a good day.